Welcome, everybody, to Talk of Southeast Alaska. I'm going to try something else. All right, welcome everybody to Talk of Southeast Alaska. This is your host, Becky, and you're listening to KCAW Sitka. This is a call-in show for you, our listeners. And to join the conversation, please call 747-5877. I'd hope to have a little bit of this bed music, but it turns out that is not going to work. So that's okay. We're going to jump right in. Today, I am joined by Tina Bachmeyer and Amanda Capitamino, who are staff members at SAVE, Sitkins Against Family Violence. Now, for my guests, I'll ask each of you to introduce yourselves in just a moment. For listeners who may not know, SAVE serves communities outside of Sitka, including Cake, Angoon, and Port Alexander. Today's episode of Talk of Southeast Alaska is a partnership to continue their Crucial Conversation series. We will be taking listener calls throughout this conversation, so please call us with your questions. Again, that number is 747-5877. Tina, would you introduce yourself and share the thinking behind SAVE's Crucial Conversations?
Hi, good morning. I'm Tina, and I'm the Direct Services Director at Sitkins Against Family Violence. And these Crucial Conversations have been happening for a few years. They are just a space that SAFE wanted to carve out in the community to have just really important conversations, specifically around the fields that we work in. So in domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. And it was a space for us to share information and also to engage the community in these conversations. Recently we've started moving this platform to the airwaves to engage a wider audience. So we're so happy to be able to be here at KCAW.
Well, we're so glad that you can join us, Tina. Amanda, could you introduce yourself and briefly describe SAVE's mission, please?
Yes. Hi, thanks for having me. My name is Amanda Capitamino, and I work at SAFE in the prevention department as the communications and evaluation specialist. SAFE's mission is basically to provide empowerment-based safety and advocacy services for victims, survivors of domestic and sexual violence, while promoting a community of nonviolence and respect through prevention.
Excellent. Thank you so much for describing that. Now, I've touched on a little bit of the places that SAVE does their service and where we overlap in our listening communities here at KCAW. But Amanda, could you tell us sort of who are SAVE services for?
Yeah, SAVE services, we serve obviously Sitka, and we also serve Port Alexander, Cake, and Angoon. We have shelter and that people can get from these communities. And we also have services such as our emergency call line, and our advocates are there 24/7 in case anybody needs any sort of assistance.
Excellent. So today we are talking a little bit about what COVID-19 and this global pandemic has to do with, I suppose, the emotional and physical well-being of folks that might find themselves in self-isolation. I wanted to start maybe by asking you, Tina, what are some resources for folks that, if they're feeling stressed and have no one to talk to, what are some resources that are out there?
Yeah, well, SAFE is here for you. If you are feeling unsafe or overwhelmed or just need someone to be there for you, SAFE is here for you. And we have advocates still working 24/7. And there's a couple ways you can reach out. We have recently launched, today is our first day launching our text line. So this is a phone number you can text. That phone number is 907-623-7820. And you can text that line any day between 8 a.m. and 11 p.m. And there's an advocate waiting to text with you. So that could be in a crisis situation, or you just like need someone to know, need to know that someone else is there for you. We have advocates ready to be there, and they want to hear from you. You can also call us from a local number. Here is 747-3370. We also have an 800 number, so that's our crisis line number. It's an 800 number, 1-800-478-6511.
Excellent. And Amanda, would you tell us a little bit more about the digital resources that are available for folks out there?
Yes. Actually, SAFE just recently launched our new COVID-19 web page. It's www.safe.org/COVID-19, so COVID-19. And we have a bunch of resources and information on from like the virus, the symptoms, the statistics that come from the state, as well as national and global organizations, the virus's impact on violence and racism, mental health and self-care tips, and then resources for victim survivors, for families and parents, and also local resources around here to help people. So you can find all that information there. And it's not just for people who are victims of domestic violence or sexual violence. The page for families and parents, it has tips for parents when it comes to finding resources for homeschooling and just how to have some family self-care. And so it's not just around violence. It's just about making this time the most positive we can.
Thank you for sharing that. I want to remind listeners that this is a call-in radio show. And so for everybody who can hear me right now, if you have questions or concerns or want to hear a little bit more from our folks here at SAVE, please call 747-5877. Again, that number, 747-5877. Our wonderful producer, Peter, is in the air room waiting to take your calls, and he'll patch you through to us. I want to touch on something that you had mentioned, Amanda, around the rate of instances of domestic violence and violence to children and that sort of stuff. I'm sorry. There's emerging data that shows that instances of violence against women and girls due to COVID-19 have changed somewhat. Tina, could you talk a little bit about what the emerging data is showing?
So there is definitely some increases as naturally we would think in times of stress and trauma. We as a society are going through this collective trauma, and in times of stress and trauma, increases of violence happen because violence is often a symptom that comes from stress. So it seems like a natural increase. And also there's been a lot of stripping of people's safe places and safe activities and people's coping skills that help people stay grounded and find community and support have been taken away because people are stuck at home and businesses are shut down and schools are shut down and things. So we have seen quite an increase of crisis calls at the shelter, almost triple actually our previous numbers. So there's a lot of stress going around, and it feels really challenging right now. Feels normal, which is an unfortunate normal that we're in.
Amanda, I wanted to ask as well, and thank you, Tina, for that explanation. It's that's kind of a shocking number to have that sort of increase locally. Amanda, do you see that there is data coming out of other places besides Sitka around instances of domestic violence? Is this sort of a localized thing, or is this a global occurrence?
No, this is most definitely a global occurrence, as everyone is very much in fear due to this pandemic. So globally, in one year, there can be as many as 243 million women and girls affected by violence. And we are definitely going to see those numbers increase. And the thing is, you know, a pandemic coronavirus did not cause the violence to happen, right? It's just something that makes it more likely to happen, or more likely for violence to intensify, because there are many pathways through which pandemics work against women who are already suffering from violence, such as quarantines and social isolation. Many times abusers can isolate their partner from their family, from their friends. And since we're in this time already of isolation, it's a lot easier for the abuser not to allow that person to reach out for help or to family.
Now, when it comes to COVID-19 specifically, you've mentioned some abusive behaviors that, you know, in terms of isolation that can occur. What are other things for folks that are listening? What if they notice, what would they notice if there were instances of abusive behaviors in someone's private life or their public life? I pose that to either of you.
Yeah. So as far as how COVID is used in instances of intimate partner violence, abusive partners may withhold necessary items like hand sanitizers or disinfectants. They might share misinformation about the pandemic to control survivors and frighten them using like a fear tactic. They might withhold insurance cards or threaten to cancel insurance, or prevent even survivors from just getting medical attention that they need. And then, as I kind of mentioned before, they could feel more justified and escalate their isolation tactics. And on the other side of that, survivors, they may not be able to secure safe shelter because programs like SAFE may be significantly more impacted now than before the pandemic. And also, our service areas are not just Sitka. We're in other remote islands, so it's even harder for them to be able to reach out for help during this time, since it would usually be really hard to reach out. Survivors may also not feel comfortable being around groups of people in a shelter if they have the opportunity to go to a shelter. Maybe they have a compromised immune system and are more likely to develop the disease in a group of people in a communal living situation. And then, of course, travel restrictions. They can't leave just because of those travel restrictions.
Tina, would you like to add anything to that? I have a bunch of questions, but that, you know, Amanda, that sounds like a very comprehensive list. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Tina?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is just like some general, just like security things that have been kind of stripped away that I would just like to plug that SAFE can help be supportive with. Like if there are things for like food needs or just basic needs that can cause, you know, stress in the home, that can, you know, if there's a survivor who does have their insurance, you know, cut off, call us, give us a call. We can help support in trying to mitigate some of those things that are happening in those, and especially in these times.
So we're talking about intimate partner violence right now, and I want to know if there are specific recommendations, aside from just get in touch with us, that you recommend for somebody experiencing violence. Tina, would you take that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, one of the biggest things that we do at SAFE is help people create safety plans, and that's something that we don't need to be a part of, that people can do for themselves as well. And I think right now that looks really different for people potentially. So just thinking through ways that if you're feeling unsafe at home, ways that you can get out of the home in safe ways, if that means creating someone that you need to go drop something off to, or an errand that you need to run, or if there's people you can reach out to create a system of people you could text or call. That could be safer. It could be other people there for you as well. And there's a lot of support systems in place. Like, you know, SAFE is here, as well as, you know, there's Search and Salvation Army. There's places that really are safe places that people can call or go to if you are feeling unsafe. So just thinking about all of those things, that thinking about what feels unsafe at home, and then maybe trying to create some creative ways to either get out of the home, or ways to stay safe for you or your children at home.
Amanda, anything to add there?
Yeah, kind of on the other side of that, if you know someone who might be in an abusive home, you know, the coronavirus can be a reason to check in, even if you've lost touch. I hear from people saying that they're meeting friends on Zoom that they haven't seen in like 12 years, right? Like, this is the time that they can use to check in and say, how are you doing? Because it seems less suspicious because there's something going on and there's a reason people are checking in. It's just a natural time to do so. Also, reach out to your neighbors. If you haven't seen a car move or their curtains go up in a few days, send a text message, see how things are. Maybe offer a safe word when they may be in trouble. And also maybe just suggesting doing necessary errands together while keeping a safe difference, such as trips to the bank or the grocery store, or maybe just for a walk.
Well, thank you for that. And we've been talking a lot about intimate partner violence here with Tina and Amanda here at SAFE. You're listening to Talk of Southeast Alaska, and this is a call-in radio show. I do have a question for everyone listening out there, and kind of a statement that goes along with it. Some folks would say that, you know, if we're noticing, you know, issues with folks around us, that's something that's happening to everybody. We're going through kind of a collective trauma. And so I want to pose the question to everybody. How are you surviving through this time of self-isolation and social distancing? Again, that number is 747-5877. Call in with your questions or comments. We have Peter on the other line waiting for your call. Again, that number is 747-5877. 5877. So to bring it back to this idea that it's a collective grief, a collective trauma that we are experiencing, how do you think that manifests in folks, Tina? What are things that we should notice within ourselves around experiencing this trauma?
Yeah, I mean, I think it, there's a lot of like little things that, I mean, I can speak personally from things that I notice about myself as well. You know, things like I'm a little bit shorter. I'm not as patient as I have been. Little things maybe feel a little bit more overwhelming for us at this time. You know, there's so much change that happens so fast. And just with change in general and trauma and, all the newness, it makes sense that things feel harder and I feel more exhausted. I know I've heard other people feel that as well. Even, you know, the wide range of home lives look, you know, home looks so different for everybody. And no matter what your home life looks like, it's okay to feel like a mess or exhausted or, you know, there's a lot of memes going around on the internet that people are taking up new hobbies or learning new languages. And I think it's so completely okay if none of that feels approachable. If, you know, all you do all day is survive and make it to bedtime, that is amazing. And I think we're all doing a great job if we can even just get through the day. So I think there's a lot of little symptoms. And yeah, I'd love to hear if anyone listening wants to share kind of what they're experiencing right now is a difficulty, and if they have a way to mitigate that or something that's helping them or nourish them right now, that'd be awesome to hear. But I think really anything you're feeling right now, anyone's feeling is normal and okay and makes sense because this is such a bizarre time.
That it is. And we do have a caller. We have Denise Ewing, our public health nurse here in Sitka, on the line. Denise, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Becky.
Hi, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
I hear that you have a few comments on coping that you'd like to add to the conversation.
First, I just wanted to call in and say, Amanda, Tina, all the SAFE crew, thank you so much for what you do. Thank you for taking care of our most vulnerable right now during this increased situation of tension and just disheartening, you know, kind of that in between what's new and what's normal and the new normal, and it's just a huge, I'm sorry, I'm hearing an echo on my end, so I hear myself.
It's likely. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. But just a huge need right now, and they're filling that gap. So I just wanted to say thank you for them.
Well,
thank
go
you,
ahead.
Denise. Thank you.
Would you like to mention anything else, Denise, while we have you on the line? You've been on our show before, and we're so grateful for your expertise and presence and for what you're doing for the community to keep everybody safe.
Thank you. We are doing this together. We are all in this together. Everybody is doing their part, and we're just seeing success from that. We're seeing zero cases right now, and we're seeing the social distancing. Even though I know everybody is getting really tired of it, and when the sun shines, it makes it even harder. And our businesses need to be reopened, and our kids are, you know, getting ready to have summer break, and activities will be different for them as well. But everybody is coping with it very well, and I just want to give really a kudos to everybody for what they're doing to do their part. Because we haven't seen any cases here, and that is because of social distancing, and that's because of taking everything very serious and planning and prepping and wearing the masks and everything that has been put out there, us Sitkins are doing, and we are celebrating that right now and crossing our fingers that as we start to look at ideas of reopening some businesses and ideas of what we can do to enjoy entertainment and everything again, that we keep COVID away from Sitka. We say that the chances of it not coming here are, you know, slim because it's everywhere. But really, if we keep doing our part like we have been doing, fingers crossed, we will either not receive it at all, or we will at least have flattened that curve to the point that we can handle it when it does come.
Well, thank you so much for that, Denise. And we're grateful for what you do and everything that we've done in order as a community to keep COVID-19 at bay. So thank you.
Thank you, Becky.
So I want to pose that question to the audience once more. How are you surviving in COVID-19 times? How are you dealing with social distancing as it is? The number to call to give your comments is 747-5877. It looks like so far we've had a successful call come through, so we are super on it. I do have more questions for you, Tina and Amanda, around sort of the emotional impacts around COVID-19. Tina, who do you think is most impacted by these emotional effects that people are feeling due to self-isolation and social distancing?
I think that every single person is impacted most right now. I think everyone's situations look so different and everyone's lives look different, but this is all, it's huge. It's a big trauma. And I think everyone is feeling this. And I mean, I personally have had a lot of hard feelings of guilt that I, you know, don't have a ton of kids and I'm not, you know, I don't have these, you know, I feel like my home is safe. So I feel a lot of guilt in that. And I feel like that isn't fair because I also am struggling too. And so I think that, you know, no matter what home looks like for you and no matter what your life looks right now, looks like right now, it's hard. And I think that everyone is experiencing that.
We've talked a lot about intimate partner violence and how adults are coping with this. I also, what do you think, do those effects have the same sort of impact on younger people or children? That question's to you, Tina.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely think that this is impacting children. You know, children are so intelligent and they feel what we feel as adults, especially parents and caregivers. They feel the feelings that they feel. So if parents are stressed, then kids are stressed too. And I think that there's also a lot of change and newness for them and requiring so many young folks to adapt to, you know, school online and maybe being at home when that's not safe. So there, I think, could be a lot of emotional outbursts or high energy. There could be a lot of different needs that kids have right now than maybe parents have never seen before. Maybe they need more cuddles than they have before, or they need, you know, more quality time with family that they haven't seen that before. So I think this absolutely is impacting those youngins.
And Amanda, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, really, the children are like little heroes, right? Like they can't even make sense. A lot of them can't even make sense of what's actually happening. And Tina's right. They definitely do feed off the energy, especially as parents and adults. We understand what's going on and the severity. And I think it definitely leaves children confused and adults frustrated. And I think just remembering to be gentle with yourself and with your child and having compassion just for your process. And no matter how you're managing this completely new normal that we were thrust into, that's okay. And that is valid. And if you feel a roller coaster of emotions every day, that is okay. That is a symptom of trauma. You can give yourself a break.
Right. And that goes for everybody, I would imagine. I do have a question. So, for parents out there and for anybody who may be experiencing this kind of trauma through, having to work remotely or have their children go to class remotely, do you have any special tips for folks in those situations? Amanda, sorry.
Sorry.
I keep forgetting. We're like, who gets that question? It's you.
Definitely. Actually, part of our COVID page on SAFE's website that I mentioned earlier, we have a whole section for parents and families, and there are a few links for homeschool help and activities that you can do, some tutoring videos in case you have no idea what your child's trying to do in school because you don't remember fifth grade math. I feel it. And there's also the National Parent Helpline for any tips that you would like to get or advice. And even just parent self-care because you need your own time too.
So I have a question for the audience. If you are listening and you have any feedback, please call us at 747-5877. This is a time for us to connect on what we're doing and what our solutions look like throughout communities. What has it been like for you to be working remotely? What has it been like for you to suddenly be homeschooling your children? Call us with your experiences at 747-5877. What's working for you? Give us a shout about that. You had mentioned, Amanda, that that this is everybody's kind of like a little hero at this point, and youth are definitely impacted through all of this as well. Could you remind everybody what that website is that SAFE has just put out that has all the different resources for folks?
Yes, it is www.safv.org/COVID-19.
Excellent. And so you mentioned that there were resources on that website for family, for youth. Who are some other, I think we went over this before, but I just want to clarify what that resource is for. Who should be taking a look at that? And that's for you, Amanda.
Yeah, honestly, anyone can take a look at it. When it comes to local resources, these resources are for everyone. We have resources for food, legal resources that don't necessarily have to do specifically with domestic violence. You can even donate to local pandemic relief in Sitka. And then as far as mental health and self-care during this time, healthy mental coping mechanisms are really important in order to stay in a good mindset, especially during isolation. And so there are lots of different resources for meditation and different kinds of relaxation techniques and support groups. If you need to find, you know, an AA online group, Narcotics Anonymous, whatever you need, we have support groups. We have resources for all of that online. As well as if people are curious about COVID and its impacts, not only on violence, which we have talked about, and but also racism. You know, there are other components that affect us through this disease.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask a little more about those supportive mental health coping mechanisms. Tina, could you walk us through a few of those sort of mechanisms that folks can use in this time of stress?
Yeah, so there's quite a few, like Amanda's saying, on our website. There are so many that are just very specialized. If you have any needs, you can just take a peek through that list. There's some great ideas, as well as Amanda is a master at finding the perfect like pictograph or like meme thing that kind of encompasses everything that I'm feeling all the time. So there's some really great, you know, just little like things that are easy to look at, but can really help give some good ideas on, you know, like how to help take care of yourself right now. And just being really gentle with yourself. And there's some great self-care tips. I think one of my favorite things that's on here is the 5 powerful self-care tips for abuse and trauma survivors. And I think that it's for anyone. I think it's a really great article on there and just some good ideas for what that might look like. So it's things like positive affirmations, like reminding ourselves that, you know, we deserve to be nice to ourselves right now and tell ourselves that we're good and doing our best. And just trying to take deep breaths and, you know, go outside when you can and slow down, be okay. It's okay to be slow and really just understand our needs. You know, like if you need a second breakfast today, you need a second breakfast, like eat something else. Or if you, you know, need to do some more stretching than you normally do or need an extra bath in the day, all of those things are great. And whatever your needs are okay.
Absolutely. No, I love that. I've called it personally because I am using a lot of those tools myself that I'm channeling my inner hobbit. And so I think those are excellent tips for folks. I also want to say that I've been on the COVID-19 website that y'all had put together at safe.org, and it's been very educational and I find everything to be pretty easy to understand. I also want to take a moment. We had the intention of making space for folks, you know, with their feelings and what's happening here in the world. We'd mentioned that, you know, there's a collective trauma that everyone's going through, but there are other words that we could put to it as well, such as grief. Amanda, could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So some people may not realize, but grief definitely is a something big that we're feeling, even if we can't name it or don't realize it. Because right now, yes, you can be grateful. Like Tina said, you have a safe place to live and you're healthy, but you can also be disappointed and sad about things you're not going to be able to do. Like, who knows how long this quarantine is going to last? And kids are probably going to be disappointed if their summer break isn't, you know, they're not allowed to spend a whole bunch of time with their friends. Or me personally, I'm healthy and that's great and so is my family, but I just had a niece a month ago. She's already a month and I have no idea when I'm going to get to see her. And that makes me sad. People's weddings have been postponed and canceled and that can be sad and that's okay. And you can be hopeful and you can be enjoying that extra time you have with loved ones and you can still feel overwhelmed by everything happening. And that's okay.
Thank you for that. I absolutely agree. I find that in terms of speaking personally about my mental health and space, I find myself wildly fluctuating between, you know, hope for the future and the potential to see friends in person again and all of this. And then, you know, swinging right back to, oh, God, will this ever end kind of thing. And that, I think, knowing that we're going through this stressful time and that emotions are going to vary wildly is an important thing to keep in mind, that you listening out there, that all of us on the air, everybody all around, we're going through something collectively that is difficult. And I thank both of you for being on the air and speaking candidly about the emotional sort of impact around this. I do want to pose a question for folks. You know, how are you dealing with the grief of what's happening today? I, again, want to reiterate that this is a call-in radio show. The phone number to call with your tips around dealing with grief is 747-5877. Again, that number, 747-5877. For me, dealing with grief, I think personally just giving myself room for that sort of wild swinging of emotion. Tina, do you have any other tips for dealing with grief?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I guess my tip would be that everybody has, everyone knows what they need. Like, I really just strongly believe that everybody knows what they need for themselves to get through this, and allowing everybody, each of us to spend the time to kind of look at what that need is. And I think everyone is just the, just holds the knowledge to what is best for them. And I think that that looks so widely different for everybody. But if you just give yourself some space, you know, go on a walk with no information, no news, no inputting information, or sit for a little bit and just kind of exist and figure out kind of what you need and what is best for you individually. I think everybody knows it within themselves. And I think there's a lot of power in giving ourselves space to be just like the all-knowing of our own needs and our own selves.
I think that's great. And I have a follow-up question for Amanda. Tina, you were talking about boundaries, I think, giving yourself space to feel your feelings and to be separate of the things that are causing you stress. Amanda, do you have... I want to pose this question. How do listeners set boundaries? How can they do that when hearing and talking about COVID-19 wears them out? Do you have any specific tips for them?
Yeah, so boundaries, no matter what they're for, whether it's for coronavirus or in friendships or in whatever, boundaries are a form of self-care. It's you taking yourself into consideration and saying, this is too much for me. So as far as COVID-19, it could be as simple as, I don't want to talk about the coronavirus right now. Or, I understand you're trying to be helpful, but I just need space to experience my emotions. And it can also be, if you're not feeling well, please don't come over. Or, I appreciate how much information you're telling me, but I don't want to receive links to articles or media coverage, because news can be very emotional. Especially at this time, you can even say something is, yeah, I'm not currently shaking hands, but we can air five. Or, I respect your opinion on the situation, but I'm allowing myself to come to my own conclusion. So there are a few ways that you can really try to set those boundaries so you can take care of your mental headspace.
And I want to point out to listeners out there that this stuff, what you're hearing from Amanda about boundaries, some, you know, pragmatic kind of scripting around it, you can find that on the new COVID-19 website, on SAVE's website. That's SAFV.org, and click on the COVID-19 tab on the menu. But also, I think self-care is something that's really important just in general. I think daily life can be pretty difficult to get through sometimes, and a lot of emotion, it can come from having maybe not as much space for that kind of self-care. So I pose this question to everybody out there listening in the community. What are you doing to take care of yourself? What's something that you're doing specially for yourself so that gives you space to, experience emotions and to give yourself a little room between the issue at hand and the pandemic and your own feelings. I'm posing that to everybody out there. So you call 747-5877 and tell us about what you're doing to take care of yourself. I'm going to jump in with a personal thing for me. I found it really important to focus on sleep hygiene in this time. I'm normally pretty anxious, and in the evening times, I find it hard to give up watching TV or something like that. And being able to turn off screens, to read a book, to relax, to drink a cup of tea and have really good sleep hygiene and a regular time to go to bed, that has been a thing that I've done to take care of myself. Tina, what is something that you've been doing to take care of yourself in this time?
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm inspired by your self-care. That's awesome. And yeah, something I've been doing is trying to set a like schedule and structure for myself. I really thrive in structure, and I've been I wasn't doing great at the beginning without the structure of like going to work and having scheduled things. So I've been trying to just create that for myself. And I like write out a schedule every morning. It includes like a walk outside every day and some yoga. So all of those things combined, I feel like help me just feel really grounded. And there's so many unknowns, but if I create a schedule for myself in the morning, at least I have the rest of the day generally planned. Like I know that something I can control and something that I do have that isn't unknown is how my day is going to progress. So that has been really helpful for me.
And for folks listening out there, please call us with what you're doing in order to take care of yourself. That number is 747-5877. Peter's on the other end of that line, ready to take your call. Amanda, what are you doing to take care of yourself?
Well,
are you taking care of yourself?
You know what the funny thing is that I'm having a really hard time working from home. I kind of am not very good at it yet.
It's pretty hard. It's pretty hard. I think just in general, the setup is not quite the same, and you're at home and there are distractions, but go on.
And I think even more than that is like, I work too much. It's like always there. It's always right next to me. I always have it like in my home. So I find myself doing work at weird hours just because it's there and I can do it. So I really need to be more strict with myself in setting, okay, it's this time of the day, I worked, I need to shut everything off and put it away and put the papers away. I can't even see them. So I'm working on it. It's a process.
That's absolutely true. And I feel that way too. I have a hard time disconnecting from work. And that's been a really key part of me trying to do that sleep hygiene thing, because otherwise I would be checking email literally every single moment of the day. I'm calling out for all of you listeners who either feel the same way or you have a different kind of coping mechanism for the stress that you're experiencing right now. The number to call to share is 747-5877. Again, 747-5877. We just have about 12 minutes left on this show, and so this is a great time to call with your comments and to talk about your experience as well. One of the things that I think has been really helpful on the COVID-19 website that you've created on save.org is the information around instances of violence and racism and other sort of oppressive behaviors that come from, you know, maybe this pandemic specifically, or not so much come from it, but exacerbate it. Could you, Amanda, talk a little bit more about some of the resources and things that you have put on the website?
Yeah. So, unfortunately, as well as increased rates of violence, there's also increased instances of racism. And in COVID-19, they manifest themselves a little differently. So, for instance, there has been a name for coronavirus that people use called the China virus, which is not exactly accurate.
That has caused increases
in hate crimes against Asian Americans. And it's so fear driven that sometimes Asian Americans, people who were born in the United States of America, are being targeted and are being violated because of this, solely by what they look like, no matter where they're from. And then there's, of course, the other side of things where we bring into play different structural systems that perpetrate racism. For instance, Black people are disproportionately not only getting coronavirus, but dying from the coronavirus due to lack of healthcare access, due to unemployment, due to not being able to leave their job because they need to provide for their family. So there are a lot of systems at play. And on the website, you will be able to find more information about that, and also resources about social justice and racial equity and trying to, you know, counter the stigma and racism that's around coronavirus. We even have a section that's tips for parents and caregivers when trying to show their kids that, you know, it's a stigma and it's racism and it's not okay. And even youth voices are also going out there and saying this is not okay and it needs to stop.
Tina, would you like to add anything to sort of the underlying structural issues that have been exacerbated by COVID-19?
Yeah, I mean, I think that to me, it just really highlights the things that exist all the time. It just really brings them to light in this way that for me is quite sickening. I get a little nauseous when I think about it, that, you know, our society is not set up for like equity for all. And that's something that I love about SAFE and the way that we do our work is that, you know, we're this team that kind of works on this big continuum where we have some of us work in like the direct services, working like directly in the crisis, responding to things. And then some of us work on the other end of the continuum, trying to stop like violence before it starts. So, you know, understanding that these like social issues are, there's stuff that's happening right now, like people are getting hurt and there's violence and there's like inequities that are so present, but we have to do that work, like the big stream of it. You know, we have to do also do like the roots of changing societies and changing systems, because the systems are not set up to support people and hold the same, you know, support and services for everybody. There are people who are always getting left out and put down and are not accounted for within our societal system. So I think this COVID time is just really highlighting these huge disparities of health inequity that exist across the world, but specifically even here just in Sitka.
Yeah, I want to kind of full circle bring this back to the beginning of what we had started talking about and the idea of stopping violence before it starts by furthering understanding and education around the kind of roots of intimate partner violence. And that sort of was the nexus, the beginning of what these crucial conversations are about. Amanda, could you speak a little bit more about like that kernel that started the crucial conversations? Because it's not just, you know, dealing with issues of violence now. There are deeper things that you're trying to achieve, correct?
Yes, definitely. The way we work, you know, we use the socio-ecological model, which basically just says that the individual level, the organizational level, the interpersonal level, the community level, they all intersect and they all affect each other in various ways. And I, you know, our name is Sickens Against Family Violence, but honestly, what we really want is just positive families, positive experiences. We want parent-child connections. We want men to be involved and to be mentors to young boys. We want to, you know, empower girls. It's not just about stopping violence. It's about raising generations where they don't allow environments that are conducive to violence.
Tina, do you have anything to add to that?
I mean, I think that it just really does like start with our like youngins. It starts with the kids and the children in our communities and raising them to have all these things that, you know, Amanda's talking about, like, of, you know, having these resources and being raised in a world where there's equity and that, you know, people are treated well and violence isn't the answer to things. And I think we have a long way to go, but there's also a lot of hope in that we can change it, that we can raise children to be living in a different world.
Well, thank you for that. We're running out of time for this episode, and so I wanted to pose any final parting thoughts for you, Amanda.
Just that SAFE is here for everyone, including men. And if you need help with anything, you know, we're here. And it doesn't need to be, you know, even if you just need someone to talk to, that is okay. Don't think that someone else has to be calling or, you know, must be calling with something worse. Your feelings and your experiences are valid, and we want to help you.
Thank you for that. Tina, any further final thoughts?
I'd love to just give our numbers out again. If you want to reach out, ditto to everything that Amanda just said. And the way you can reach out to us is either by texting. You can text us at 907-623-7820 between 8 a.m. and 11 p.m. every day. And you can also give us a call, and you can call us any time of the day, 24/7. Our local number is 747-3370, and our 800 number is 1-800-478-6511.
Thank you so much for joining me today, and I appreciate you being on the line, and thank you for all you do. Have a great day.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you.
And thanks to everybody who's joined us today. You can enjoy the show online at kcaw.org, and we'll be back on May 20th to talk about the hemlock sawfly. Thanks for listening to Talk of Southeast Alaska today. Our producer is Peter Vu. Thanks also to Belly Meat, who made our theme music. If you'd like to be a guest on our next show or have any ideas on topics you would like to hear discussed, contact me, Becky, by calling 747-5877. You can also follow along on our newsletter. Sign up for it on our website. Go to kcaw.org and find the button on the right side of the homepage. An archive of this program will also be available on our website. Talk of Southeast Alaska is a production of KCAW Sitka, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of the Raven Radio Foundation, its staff, or its underwriters. You are listening to KCAW Sitka.